We know that over 5,000 barrels, which is 210,000 gallons per day, are coming out of an open hole in the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico. The only two methods they have right now for capturing this are one they tried last in 1978, but it failed, and the other is to drill a second relief valve near the existing wellhead, and that will take months.
I want to talk about those potential solutions, but first let's get a picture of the scope of the problem. What is the risk to the Alabama coastline?
Let me give you worst-case scenario first. Oil sheen coming across. It will be a thin layer at first, but the closer, the bigger part of the spill gets to us, the thicker it gets. Everybody's seen a beach with oil on it. It's not pretty. It can be cleaned up fairly quickly so that the lasting effects of that are not as devastating. But Alabama, all the way across the northern Gulf, we are the fishery for the world. 70% of oysters, 69% of shrimp.
70% of oysters, 69% of shrimp consumed in the world come from there?
Yes.
It's not just an environmental crisis. It would be an economic crisis as well.
The Gulf of Mexico, it's $20 billion tourism industry, $650 million seafood industry. We are 54 and 55% of the crude oil and natural gas in the United States. We are the sixth largest economy in the world, the Gulf of Mexico is. This oil spill is not just environmental. It's not about pretty, and it's not about, frankly, critters. I don't want to dismiss them. That is a huge part of why people come to the beach and why there is a tourism dollar spent here. But the entire economy, every part of our economy is impacted by this.
You mentioned some of the potential ways of dealing with it. You mentioned that in 1978 there was an attempt to deal with a similar oil spill. Tell us what happened then and why you say it didn't work.
Essentially, they attempted to lower a kind of a balloon over where the oil was coming out, and it just failed. It collapsed. And I think it was because of weather conditions and other challenges. My problem with that is they haven't really tried to find any other significant alternatives since 1978. The other methods that we're using, they are going to burn it. Burning is probably the most complete consumptive way to do it, but it's hard to do. The air quality impacts from it and therefore the health impacts from it are great and frankly unknown. The other method that we like the least is this dispersant. It's a chemical that they use to essentially everything from get the oil to break up or weight the oil down so that it sinks. Both of those have great repercussions, long-term repercussions on the environment and our natural resources. If you break it up, you're spreading it farther, and you're also making it much more available to fish and sea life to eat and move forward. It would help to not destroy the wetlands and the grass beds, so that's a positive.
We often talk about trying to find win-win solutions, but in this case, it seems like pretty much everything is a lose-lose solution. I mean, if you can break it up through burning it or, you know, dispose of it through burning it, then you've got one problem taken care of, but you create an air quality issue.
Right.
Is there anything that can be done here that isn't going to have a severe impact on some other outcome?
No. And we've been drilling for oil for over 100 years, and this is the best we have. I have hundreds of volunteers calling every minute and emailing every minute. I mean, we are, and I'm not the only organization taking them in Alabama, in coastal Alabama. There are three of us taking names and numbers in coastal Alabama. We don't have a job. Everybody wants to do something, and they want to do something now, and they have resources, they have money, they have boats, they have gloves, they have tools, they have whatever, they have skills, and we need a job. So we're really pushing to figure out how to actually be able to put these folks to work who want to do something, and who want to do something early and now. Let's be ready. Let's be trained.
I guess I'm having a hard time envisioning what volunteers could possibly do, even if they have boats and gloves and you know, energy and skills.
Well, a couple of things, and this is already happening down here. You know, the NAS put boons across Pensacola yesterday. We have them deployed, but we don't have them everywhere. I have.
What does that mean
done.
Exactly when you say they put booms out?
Essentially, they take a long line of this floating curtain, and the curtain goes down into the water and sits above the, it floats and sits above the water. It's connected in a long line, and it's a way to keep floating solids from going into a watershed, into the waterway.
And is most of the oil on the surface, so that
yes.
would trap most of that?
Yes, exactly. The only flaw is we're having weather, and I'm a little fussy that we have such perfect weather. We've had perfect weather, and now we're having real chop and real wind, because the problem is the boon can be overtaken. So in some of these really critical areas like Grand Bay and Portageville Bay, South Mobile County, those areas need to be boomed in rows. We need several layers. If folks want to do that, let's let them do it.